This is Dr. Chad Edwards, and you are listening to podcast number 40 of Against the Grain. Are you tired and fatigued? Are you frustrated with doctors because they just don't seem to listen? Do you want to fix your pain without surgery? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then we are the clinic for you. We offer prolotherapy, PRP or platelet-rich plasma therapy, and stem cell injections, IV nutritional therapies, bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, and functional medicine to get you back on track to optimal health. Call our clinic at 918-935-3636 or visit our website at www.revolutionhealth.org to schedule your appointment today.
Welcome to Against the Grain Podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards, where he challenges the status quo when it comes to medicine. We get into hot topics in the medical field with real stories from real patients to help you on your way to a healthy lifestyle. Get ready, because we're about to go against the grain.
Hello, hello. This is the Super Tall Marshall Morris, and today I am joined by Dr. Chad Edwards, who believes that 80% of medical recommendations are crap, technically speaking.
Pure crap.
Pure crap. And he is the author of Revolutionize Your Health with Customized Supplements. He served in the U.S. Army. He is an Oklahoma State University medical school graduate. But most importantly, he is the founder of revolutionhealth.org and Against the Grain podcast. Dr. Edwards, welcome. I'm so excited to be joined by you here today.
Man, I am excited to be here. It's always good. You know, we record these on Friday, so it's Friday. It's good.
It's good. Well, let's get into it. What is our hot topic here today?
Well,
this episode's hot topic.
I love it. Well, before my disclaimer, I've got this kind of snot thing going on. So If I sniffle in this thing, I don't mean to offend anybody. I'm going to try and get away from the microphone, but that's my disclaimer.
Okay. So what are we talking about? What is like the main core concepts that we're getting into today?
Yeah. So we're going to talk about inflammation and why is inflammation an against the grain kind of topic? And we're going to cover a couple of things, or actually a few things, but inflammation and specifically what's called the arachidonic acid pathway. And the arachidonic acid pathway is the biochemical pathway through which we make these chemicals that lead to inflammation. So why is that against the grain? Well, because the prevailing thought is that inflammation is bad. And, you know, we've had podcasts where we talked about prolotherapy and, you know, how prolotherapy actually induces inflammation. Inflammation in an acute setting in the right place is a very, very good thing, and it's essential and we need it. When it becomes chronic, that's another topic.
Okay, so the whole against the grain idea is that inflammation is bad, but really what we're going to talk about today is why it actually is helpful for the body.
You got it.
Okay, so let's get into it. Why don't you walk us through the way that inflammation manifests itself?
Yeah, so first I think it's important. I mean, it's a good idea to understand the definition of what is inflammation. You know, people come in, they'll say, oh, I'm inflamed. You know, I have this, my knee's really inflamed. So the dictionary definition is that inflammation is a physical condition in which part of the body becomes reddened, swollen, hot, and often painful, especially as a reaction to injury or infection. That's the definition. So you got these injury, infection, chemical exposure, those kinds of things can lead to this process of inflammation. So several things can trigger it. It's also important to understand that inflammation is nonspecific. In other words, if you get, I can't think of a good analogy, but you know, it doesn't matter if you get, you know, exposed to a certain chemical that would be toxic that would cause inflammation, or if you get hit, or if, you know, you get, you know, you tweak your ankle or something like that. Inflammation, the inflammatory response is nonspecific. It doesn't matter what causes it. There are five signs that we often will refer to as the cardinal signs of inflammation. They're heat, there's redness, swelling, pain, and loss of function. So those, you know, again, think about that. You know, you tweak your ankle, tweak your knee, something like that, and the area can get, it gets inflamed. And that's that redness, the pain, swelling, loss of function, gets warm to the touch, those kinds of things. Some of these things we see more in response to infections. had a guy in the clinic today. It had a big abscess on his neck. And I feel awful for the guy because that thing looks, it looks horrible. It looks horribly uncomfortable. We're going to get it taken care of. Not a big deal. But I mean, it is very, very firm to the touch. You push on it and it's hard, hard as a rock. It's like, man, it's like an alien brain in there. It's very red, swollen, painful, tender, all those things. That is inflammation. And it's inflammation in response to an infection. Same kind of process happens when you tweak your ankle. It may not get as red on the surface of the skin, but that same process happens when you tweak your ankle or if you get this infection in your neck. With this guy, the total side note, but when we have these, when you have an abscess, it's a kind of skin infection that kind of coalesces into this. Basically, it's like a big pimple, huge, gigantic pimple. The fix for those is not antibiotics. It's not, doing all these crazy weird things. The fix for that is open it and get the junk out. You got to get the crap out of it and let it drain. When you do that, these things will get better. So we did that a couple of days ago. You know, today looked quite a bit better. Still has a lot of work to do, but we're gonna get that thing fixed. But it's just got to drain. Once you remove the source of the infection, the source of the inflammation begins to recede. So those five signs again: heat, redness, swelling, pain, loss of function. There's, when we talk about inflammation, there's three components of inflammation, and this is a little bit of med school. Inflammation 101. So getting a little nerdy on it, but just helping understand what's going on underneath the hood. The three components of inflammation is, one is you have an increase in blood vessel diameter and an increased rate of blood flow. And that's what accounts for the heat and the redness. You got more blood flow going through this area. The blood vessels dilate and allowing for that increased blood flow. And you need that because there's a whole host of other things that are going to follow behind that are bringing in the chemicals, the white blood cells, all of those things that are needed to repair these damaged areas. So blood vessel diameter, rate of blood flow. The second thing is capillary permeability, big word. So the capillaries are the smallest blood vessels. You got to start with arteries, goes down to these arterioles. Eventually, so it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And when you get down to the capillary, capillaries are so small, only one red blood cell can fit through them. Little bitty things. And that's where your oxygen exchanges, where a lot of your gases and a lot of your nutrients exchange in these capillary beds. So the capillaries become more permeable, meaning that it will allow fluids, it'll allow different things to creep across the membrane out of the blood vessel, out of the capillary itself, and into the surrounding tissues. So these things get leaky. And so that's where we start seeing some of that swelling, some of the edema that goes along with that. It's because we've triggered this capillary permeability. And then the last component is leukocytic exudation. So leukocytes, white blood cells, they're a big component in repairing what's going on that caused the initial inflammation. And so these things are actually migrating across the blood cell, the capillary, and into these tissues. And so they're almost like little scavengers, and they're going across, and based on specific targeting, they're engulfing things that are damaged and getting rid of bacteria and bad tissue and all those kinds of things. So the chemicals, this whole process of inflammation is occurring so that we can heal. That's why we have this. That's why you have these three components. All of them are working together to heal these damaged tissues. The blood vessels get bigger so that more blood flow can get in there, so that you can get more blood, the leukocytes into that area, so that we can get more more chemicals in there to make those capillaries more leaky, so that these chemicals can get across there that help drive this whole inflammatory process. So all three of those pieces are important. So when we tweak something, we tweak an ankle, you tweak a knee, and you look at that swelling and you say, oh my gosh, it's inflamed, I got to stop this. You really don't. That those are indicators that your immune system is kicking in and fighting what's going on. That swelling is letting you know what's going on underneath the hood. And I would argue that that's not bad. Now, that can be painful. And that's why a lot of people, want to treat that. And, you know, we'll talk about anti-inflammatory, you know, after we come back from the break in a minute, but anti-inflammatory medications, but the, and certainly, you know, things like ice, they're wanting to control those symptoms, but I think it's just so permeated our society, especially in sports medicine. You know, I had a t-shirt that just said, just ice it. And as a medic in the Army, we had, we carried, you know, Ranger candy, and it's just like, you just throw out Motrin as if it were candy. And, we don't want to inhibit that inflammation because that stuff's healing. So what drives this whole process? You know, you have something that activates inflammation, and there are some major classes of chemicals. I'm not going to get too geeked out on this stuff. But I just, you know, want to understand there's a lot going on, in this whole process. So you have vasoactive amines and chemicals like histamine. I mean, I think pretty much everybody knows what a histamine is. It's one of the things that gets released with this inflammatory process. And, you know, what causes histamine to really be released? There's a number of things. Certainly allergy type things can lead to that, but trauma can lead to it as well. And so we have a release of histamine, and, you know, with histamine, we see things, you know, when you get like a hives, that's a histamine reaction. And so you'll see swelling in the area where those hives are going on. And that's because those capillaries are becoming more leaky. And I mean, histamine's doing its thing. So that's part of this inflammatory cascade. You have another class of chemicals called endopeptidases. That's a big, gigantic word. And within that, you've got the kinin system, which you have like bradykinin. It's a chemical that brings several things into the area. You have the complement system, which works with antibodies and antigens and identifying and all kinds of stuff like that. And the clotting system, so that you can cause coagulation so that you don't leak out too much and things like that. And then the last category, and I think it's probably one of the biggest ones for kind of where we're going to go with this discussion, are the prostaglandins. And prostaglandin, or prostaglandin, the term actually came from prostate, the prostate gland. They actually first identified prostaglandins coming from the prostate gland, which is why it got its name. And they reproduce several of the aspects of the whole inflammatory process. And, you know, earlier I talked about this arachidonic acid pathway, and arachidonic acid is an omega-6 fatty acid that is the backbone for a lot of the chemicals, specifically these prostaglandins and eicosanoids and leukotrienes that are part of this inflammatory cascade. And a lot of medicines that people take will inhibit one of these parts in this arachidonic acid pathway. So for example, asthmatics, you know, or allergy sufferers might take Singulair. It's a medication. And that's actually a leukotriene inhibitor. And that's one of the chemicals that's produced in this arachidonic acid pathway. There are two of the biggest ones that probably most people are aware of is what's called cyclooxygenase, or COX-1 and COX-2, two different isoforms, meaning two different enzymes that kind of work in a little bit different manner that produce a lot of these chemicals, specifically the prostaglandins, that are part of this inflammation. So when we get back from the break, let's go over the COX-1 and 2 and the anti-inflammatories and how it plays a role in this whole thing.
Okay, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Vertical Limit Fitness constantly strives for better. Better mind, function, fitness, capacity, and community. They accomplish this through bodyweight boot camp style classes and high-intensity functional fitness classes. From group classes to private training, Vertical Limit Fitness elevates your health and wellness while helping you become able to do anything and prepare you for everything that life may bring along. Call 918-409-1633 or visit their website at www.verticallimitfitness.com for more information and to sign up for a week of classes.
Okay, we are back, joined today with Dr. Chad Edwards, and we're talking about inflammation and why this is an against the grain topic. Dr. Edwards, let's get back into it. What is or what are these COX-1 and COX-2? Break these down for me.
Yeah, so when you look at this arachidonic acid pathway, basically you've got, I think of it almost like a pyramid or even a yes-no flow chart kind of thing. Flow chart's probably the best way to describe it. So you start with arachidonic acid. This chemical gets acted on by an enzyme called phospholipase A2. then it converts into another series of chemicals, and you've got enzymes that work on each of these things. And basically what you're doing is you're taking a chemical that looks one way, arachidonic acid, this long chain fatty acid, kind of like the omega-3s. If you want to listen back to the fish oil podcast we just did, where we talk about this long hydrocarbon that's this fish oil. Arachidonic acid is the same kind of thing, but it's an omega-6 fatty acid, but it's this long chain. And the prostaglandins, eicosanoids, those kinds of things are a very different shape. They're kind of rounded, and they have two tails, but it's like a ring and two tails. And so you have this biochemical process that's producing these things from long chain to ring with tails. And there are enzymes that help this conversion take place at each step. So cyclooxygenase 1 and 2 are some of these enzymes that work in this arachidonic acid pathway. Now, the reason that most people would care about this is because the medicines that you take, like Motrin, Naprosyn, ibuprofen, all of these NSAIDs or non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, act on COX-1 and or COX-2. The terms, I think, probably came into mainstream when they came up with these COX-2 inhibitors, something like Celebrex. So, you know, the part of the problem, when you look at this arachidonic acid pathway, and I'm a visual person, so I don't know that saying it over a podcast helps, you know, a ton, but there's a lot of chemicals that get produced in this pathway. And some of these prostaglandins have different effects. Some of them will cause vasoconstriction, some cause vasodilation, some cause smooth muscle relaxation, some cause smooth muscle contraction, some protect the lining of the stomach through secretions, those kinds of things. So when you take a medication that blocks all of those, then, like, for example, you're blocking the prostaglandin that protects the lining of the stomach. You take an anti-inflammatory medication and you're blocking the prostaglandins that actually protect the lining of the stomach. So that's where we start getting ulcers. And in fact, there's evidence that within 1 week, 50% of people on anti-inflammatories are having endoscopic evidence, meaning that when we look with a scope, we can see damage to the stomach, or we see changes in the stomach because of these medications. So it happens early. It happens frequently. We can disrupt the stomach because of these medications. So we have to be very, very, very careful. Other, like I said, some of these prostaglandins will help control blood flow through vasoconstriction, vasodilation, and they work in the kidney. And we see this, it's so common. It's so far more common than anybody probably recognizes, that someone's on anti-inflammatories for a long period of time and they can go into kidney failure because of it. This stuff can kill your kidneys. You know, if you have a headache and you take one, in fact, I'm taking them right now for my nose stuff. And it's beneficial for that, but you don't want to just willy-nilly take it and think, oh, I'm going to be fine. It can do real damage. We have to be careful with that. So the COX-1 enzyme tends to produce these prostaglandins that are produced and ready. In other words, it's almost like the stockpile that you already have built up and is ready to go to work. So we make some of these prostaglandins and we just have them on standby. COX-2 tends to produce the chemicals that get made or get produced in response to some kind of stimuli. So you tweak your ankle, you got some that are already there, and they're ready to go. And then you have some that are being produced because of that injury. And the COX-2 would inhibit more of the ones that are produced because of the injury. So the COX-2 inhibitors are the ones that protect. You know, they don't inhibit the COX enzyme, the cyclooxygenase enzyme that makes the chemicals that protect the stomach. So you're getting a more selective result, and you're taking an NSAID or an anti-inflammatory that's going to have less impact on your stomach. Now, when I was in the military, we had people that would prescribe Celebrex as a first line deal. These drugs are much, much, much more expensive than like ibuprofen. And these some of these providers would just be like, oh, here's your Celebrex. We don't want to mess up your stomach. Well, that's cool, but it costs like 10 times as much. So, you know, we're spending a lot of money for somebody that doesn't really need that protection. If money were no object, then I'd say, yeah, go that route. But, you know, you put 100 people, I mean, you start doing that a bunch and it's going to start making a difference cost-wise because, you know, the cost of medicine goes up, you know, the more expensive stuff we use. So the I think the Celebrex and Vioxx was one that was out several years ago, and it was banned, I think, in 2006, I think. And it was a COX-2 selective medication. So again, it protected the stomach, and it worked for relieving the pain that people would get. So these anti-inflammatory medications can inhibit the cyclooxygenase enzymes, but it can also inhibit a whole host of other chemicals like thromboxanes, for example. And the thromboxanes they work with platelets and platelet aggregation, and omega-3s, fish oil, also goes through this arachidonic acid pathway. So you have something that's an omega-6, arachidonic acid, that goes through this pathway, and a bunch of enzymes can work on it and make certain chemicals. But then you have something like your omega-3s, EPA and DHA specifically, that can go through the same arachidonic acid pathway. They get worked on by enzymes, but they produce a different prostaglandin or thromboxane. For example, thromboxane A2 is the one that, you know, works on platelet aggregation. And the omega-3s, when they go through that arachidonic acid pathway, they make thromboxane A3. And some would argue that that is a non-functional thromboxane. So it prevents platelets from sticking together. So it's yet another way that fish oil can be anti-inflammatory and inhibit platelet aggregation. So it's an important concept. Some doctors would say, stop taking your fish oil before surgery. And it's because of this action, because of how it works on the arachidonic acid pathway and the chemical that it produces, because it's making thromboxane A3 that either doesn't work or it's much less effective. So when we're talking about taking fish oil, we're trying to balance the amount of omega-3s with the amount of omega-6s that we get. Standard American diet, very heavy in omega-6s. And if that's all you have, then you have this very pro-inflammatory state because going through this arachidonic acid pathway. Whereas with fish oil, it's balancing that the omega-6 is going through this pathway so that at the end, you have balanced inflammation. You have it when you need it, not too much, not too little. You know, we don't want to take anti-inflammatory medications all the time, especially for a musculoskeletal sports injury because we need to heal. But things like fish oil can be very good at balancing the immune system so you have a normal, natural response. Standard American diet, very pro-inflammatory. It's one of the reasons that, you know, we say avoid this kind of diet, eat a good, healthy, almost a Mediterranean or a paleo type diet. Make sure your omega-3 levels are up because it helps you understand the balance between these two things, and it can really help shut off the inflammation. And again, going back to that arachidonic acid pathway, I think that's a lot of the reason why. And some people may think this topic's pretty dry, and it is kind of, but when you tie all that together and bring in the omega-3s, the omega-6s, and the anti-inflammatories and all that, it all has to do with this inflammatory arachidonic acid pathway. So that's why I wanted to do this topic.
So if I understand this correctly, and jump in here if I'm straying too far, okay?
Yeah.
But the way that I understand it is a lot of families and athletes and, people will take anti-inflammatories thinking that, hey, you know, I just want to reduce the swelling in my foot because my foot hurts. Okay, they'll take that for injuries, or they have some type of chronic inflammation in the event of maybe not a proper diet. Okay, yeah. It takes a very little amount of externality to cause your body to become inflamed.
Sure,
and so they'll frequently take that. But what we've found is that by taking all these anti-inflammatories, it can do a couple things. It can hurt your kidneys.
Yep.
Okay. It can hurt your stomach.
Yep.
And there's things that we can do to mitigate that. Okay. We can take omega-3s.
Yep.
Okay. That will counterbalance it.
Correct.
We can also not be so quick to prescribe anti-inflammatories.
Absolutely.
You know, do you absolutely need this anti-inflammatory, or is the body just doing its job?
Exactly. That's okay. Exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other piece on that, you know, you mentioned the kidneys, you mentioned the stomach, but also do not neglect the fact that this is how you heal. You heal through inflammation. So, you know, we see so many athletes with so many back pain, knee pain, shoulder pain, all of these things. And, you know, these old, broke, you know, I say old, I'd say in their 40s, you know, like that's old.
Okay.
Retired SF and Army guys that are just broken. And they're broken because all these little things, it may not necessarily be one big thing, but all these little things. And what did they do? They took anti-inflammatories every time they had a pain.
So this is inflammation, how inflammation works, the purpose of your body's inflammation. It's actually healing the body. Any other closing thoughts on this particular topic?
I think we've summed it up.
All right.
It may seem a little dry, but I think it's worthwhile.
Dr. Edwards, thanks so much for giving me this fire hose of knowledge on inflammation today.
It's always my pleasure.
All right, boom.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards. Tune in next week where we'll be going against the grain.